This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend God's blessings to you from the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Should the church be asking at this time in history, is it time for an ongoing reformation? We'll talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we thank you for the glorious message that you have given us to proclaim on this Lord's Day and every day, to point men and women to the cross and to the empty tomb, to the Lord Jesus who has atoned for our sins and brought us into a relationship with you. God, we know that often this message is muddied and cloudy and doesn't ring clearly. Forgive us, O God, and help us to ask, is it possible that it should be time for an ongoing reformation? In Jesus' name, amen.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the far and cloudy pillar lead me on my journey through. Strong deliverer, strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and cheer. Be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever give to thee.
Friends in Christ, last Sunday we celebrated the Festival of the Reformation. We were reintroduced to Martin Luther, who discovered while studying the scriptures that there were teachings in the church which were seriously wrong and distorted the teachings of our Lord. The biblical teaching that we are justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ had been changed. Now people were being taught that justification came by grace through faith in Christ, plus, notice the plus doing good works. As a part of this heresy, a man by the name of Tetzel, the Pope's representative, was selling indulgences. If one would buy this letter of indulgence, the soul of a departed loved one would be released from purgatory. They had a little jingle. As soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. This teaching was so contrary to the Bible that Luther came forth with a biblical teaching and exposed the wrong teachings in the church which had been accumulating through the centuries. Thus, the Reformation became a reality. Now hundreds of years have passed, and biblical teachings continue to be denied in some churches. Changes have been made to accommodate the cultures of a particular generation and went far away from what God had said in His inspired Word. Is it not time for an ongoing reformation in the church? That's the question that I would leave with you this morning, one that we must really give serious consideration to. But before that, we ought to take a look at the church as best we see it from where we are. Now, my viewpoint of the church as I see it, and I think it's pretty general, is that there are many churches and many denominations that are growing, both numerically and spiritually. They are trying to do the will of God. Sure, they're sinners. They make mistakes. They might have some differences one from the other, but never in the essentials. In those churches, you'll find people talking about conversions, people coming to Christ, spiritual awakenings. Once I knew about Him, now I know Him. Sunday schools that are packed with not just children, important as that is, but even with adults. Little children sitting there before God-fearing men and women and hearing that Bible history, learning the parables and the miracles and what God has done in Old Testament times, etc. Words that will never leave their hearts. Churches that are packed where there are people around to come. Outreach, where we talk about evangelism very freely and where we share the faith whenever God opens a door and we can come in and tell the story of our Savior. A concern also for the social conditions of the day. No, we haven't given that up. We say that as a fruit of our faith, we are to be concerned about the poor and the sick and the homeless and the injustices and all of that which goes on. And we need to find ourselves in the first rank of those who will help the downtrodden in any way. Now, there are many churches that are doing just that. You know them, and I do too. But we also know, if we want to face reality, that that is not the case in many mainline churches. The reports that they make and their officials make them tell us that there are large declines in membership, and even more than that, in attendance. People are not coming to church. People refusing to contribute of their time and their finances because they say, I can find other places to use my money and my time that will help people in their relationship with God. Our Sunday schools that are fast going by the wayside, some having no Sunday schools at all, and others of them where boys and girls can come if they are so inclined. And evangelism programs? Why would anyone have an evangelism program? Are not all people saved? In a fancy universalism? We find this in many, many churches today. Well, now we have that rather bleak picture, and I'm sure that we ought to ask the question, is there a place where we can turn for help? For that's the purpose of this program, Christian Crusaders, to turn us back to the Word of God and not just to lament all that is so wrong. Now, that was the question that was being asked in the first century. And I'm sure that it could have been asked by a young man by the name of Timothy. and his father in God was a person by the name of St. Paul. Paul, who was about ready to be killed for the cause of the faith, Timothy, who was just starting out in his ministry. Let me read you our text for today. It is in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 1 to 5. And if you want to open your Bibles, again, it's 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. I read, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Timothy, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come, Timothy, when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." Those were the words of St. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to this man. And they are the words that are the same yesterday and today and forever. "For the time will come," St. Paul says, "the time is always coming, for the sinful heart of a man would draw us away from that which is revealed in God's word." So he says to this young man, preach the word. Preach what's in the Bible. That's where your texts are. This is where you have the basis for your sermon, in no other place but in the Bible, in the Word of God, every single Lord's Day. And there I want you, he says, to do three things. You correct, you rebuke, and you encourage. Now that's the outline that doesn't come from an old preacher, but this comes from the Apostle Paul himself. Correct. What kind of correction do you think he could have been talking about? In only a few weeks now, we will celebrate Christmas. Christmas, the birthday of the Lord Jesus. That's a tremendous holiday. It's a festival of the incarnation, when God comes to this world in the person of Jesus Christ, that babe was born of a virgin who knew no man. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. Why did he come? He came as a God incarnate, not simply as a man, but as God, to take the sins of the world upon him and pay the price for these sins as he died upon the cross. This was the purpose for Jesus Christ's coming. Will that message be proclaimed with all of its joy on that holy season of the year, Christmas, when our hearts should be filled as we gather our families around the cradle and think the God incarnate? Let me tell you of an incident I had many years ago. In the early 50s, I was playing golf with a pastor from another denomination. And he said to me, "You're right out of the seminary, and I've only been out for about 5 years. What do you think of the virgin birth?" Now, back in the 50s. And I said, "Well, what do I think about the virgin birth? It's found in the Word of God. I believe it. I preach it. My church certainly proclaims it. What do you mean? And he looked at me and quietly said, do you really mean that? Could you have come right out of a theological seminary just a few years ago and still believe that old teaching? And I looked at him and I said, that teaching will never grow old. That's the incarnation. Well, good for you, he said, but you'll chase your people away. I didn't chase them away. Not because of me, but because of the message they came by the hundreds and even sometimes by the thousands. This is what has to be corrected. You can't let that go. Did I do any good? I don't know if I did or not. I left my witness. But if that ever comes up in a congregation, the next move is on to the denomination. What's being taught in our seminaries? I don't accuse anybody. I just raise a question. Where is this thing coming from? It must be corrected. That's the ongoing reformation. The next word is rebuke. I think a little bit harder than correct. Rebuke. Really get down to brass tacks. Tell it as it is. And how we need that. We have, for example, a situation in our own denomination where recently we passed a sexuality statement that permits same-sex marriages to be blessed and ordained practicing homosexuals serving in the church. Now, we know that according to the Word of God, the practice of homosexuality is sin. Not that the homosexual should not be invited in and loved and helped in every way possible. But the practice of homosexuality is sin, according to the Word. And how do you ordain a person with that kind of a lifestyle? It is not only the sexuality part of this, but it is what is behind it. What does it do to the teaching of the Word of God? What does it do to a church that has in its doctrinal statements, we believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God and the only authority in matters of faith and life, the only one. And now for a little while, we're going to set it aside so that we can all live under one tent and love one another. God grant that we might live and love one another. But also where any one of us who have fallen into sin need to be rebuked. Certainly I as well as anybody. You just can't let these things go. Say nothing about the denomination putting its stamp of blessing upon it. Paul goes on and says to Timothy, you encourage. Certainly it is true that we have to correct and rebuke, but always do it in love. Always do it in love. Not with the anger that I'm getting even with you or whatever it may be, or you wretched character. But to say to the person who has fallen into this sin and a church that has blinded its eyes, you can't do this. God's word does not permit it. You cannot do this. Encourage. God will forgive. God will strengthen. God will forgive. That's the gospel that we preach every Sunday morning. That's the gospel that we carry throughout the week. We cannot remain silent. What would have happened if Paul had remained silent, if Luther had remained silent, what happens if we remain silent? Satan has gained his point, and the church is on its way to despair. Are we ready for another Reformation? Where does it really begin, friend? The Reformation begins with me. The Reformation begins with you. We have got to let the Holy Spirit so examine our lives that we see this is who we really are, wretched people that we are. We need to have that go out into the congregation. Congregations having on the agendas of their annual meeting and any other time of the year. Where are we wrong here in this church? What is happening? Why are these pews empty? What are we not doing that God wants us to do? That's where it has to go next. And then on to our denominational headquarters and seminaries and colleges and all the rest that bear our name. Anything less than that is wrong. Do we need an ongoing Reformation? Yes. And it begins with the individual who's committed to Jesus Christ. Someone has said, I think it's Art Linkletter, but I'm not sure, that growing old is not for sissies. Why, I hear that real often where I live, and it certainly is true. Growing old is not for sissies. It takes a lot of strength. I'd like to say today that being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ and His Word is not for sissies. It sent St. Paul to a martyr's death. It sent Luther to an imprisonment for a year by his friends, and many hard days after that. And if you and I are faithful followers of Christ and His Word, there is going to be some suffering. We have the good life. We have the blessed assurance. But growing old may not be for sissies, but I know that committed Christianity is not either. We need an ongoing Reformation. Amen.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather
Lord, send your Holy Spirit and open our hearts, that we may find out where the Reformation needs to start with us. Courageously, then, may we move it into our congregations and into our denominations and to the whole church on this earth, that the people, wherever they are, may hear the good news that they need so badly. Be with those who are sick, those who wonder about their future. Grant, O God, that they may rest assured that they're in your hands, and whether they live or die, they belong to you, if they will but trust in Christ. Grant that there may be many spiritual awakenings and conversions in our churches on this Sunday as the word goes forth. This is our prayer as we thank you for this opportunity to share the word. In Christ's name, amen.
You have been worshiping with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's sermon has brought you peace and joy. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. Memorial gifts to Christian Crusaders can be given to commemorate a very special person on their birthday, anniversary, or other occasion. We thank those who have honored the memory of someone special with a gift to Christian Crusaders, thus allowing us to continue bringing the gospel message to thousands of listeners each week. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or call our office to find out more at 1-888-693-2484. That's 1-888-693-2484. Christian Crusaders publishes both a weekly email newsletter and a quarterly print newsletter to bring new information to our listeners. The weekly e-newsletter contains a preview of the upcoming program, while the print newsletter, called The Crusader, contains a special article by Reverend Larson and thoughts on faith and life from other members of our staff. Please call our office to join our mailing list. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth every Sunday for the past 73 years.